Dark wings.
Dark words.
The Game of Thrones podcast.
Season 4, episode 1.
Two swords. Welcome back, everyone. I am your host, Chuck Davis, and with me this week are...
Craig McCauley.
Mike Herger.
Chris Voorhees.
Chris, you're our new wild card.
All right.
Phil, the podmaster, Jonak, abandoned us in our hour of need.
He had to go get a cheeseburger.
1 hour a week of need.
Yeah.
He was here.
He can't even be here for our 1 hour a week.
Brutal. Yeah. So I
say we take his hand.
Oh,
it's only fitting.
The punishment fits the crime.
Have you read the books, Chris?
I have.
Okay, so Phil hadn't read the books, so now we've got. Well, I haven't
less
read
of
all
a
the
spectrum.
Books. Now I'm the only one that I'm the worst. I haven't read
Mike's,
all the
Mike's
books.
Mike's barely so. Ahead of the series, I yeah. guess.
I don't know if it's because I'm aging, but probably. I feel like I've forgotten everything. Mm. I haven't been living in Westeros for a good long time now, and I mean it's enhancing my appreciation of the show because like all this stuff is cool.
Yeah.
Instead of just nitpicking like all the little details that were fresh in my mind when
well, this
the
is
show
how it's
started
different from the book.
Yeah, I won't be saying that anymore.
Yeah,
I'll be like, "Who's that? What's she doing?"
We are definitely going to lower the bar this season.
This is senile season 4. Everybody's forgotten everything.
I feel like I remember most of it, but it's all just sort of glommed together into a big mess. For example, I'm not sure which book we're in right now. I think we're still in book 3, aren't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. And there's a lot of juicy stuff left, like, post Red Wedding in that book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, I think when you're reading it even, like, you're still, like, PTSD after the Red Wedding chapter for a few chapters before.
But then you're like, oh, all this cool stuff is happening?
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll make it, guys. We'll make it through.
But, yeah, I mean, with Joffrey and Margaery's wedding still coming up and other major points of interest.
Yes. What do we think?
I just great. We were talking the other day. I was kind of like, maybe the theme of this podcast might be, I'm just not that into you anymore, Game of Thrones. But I'm back, baby. I'm into it. I like it. And partially the whole climactic fight in the tavern with Polliver and the Hound and Arya getting Needle back. That's like one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Scenes. I saw somebody posted something online the other day, just kind of like, oh, what's your favorite death, in Game of Thrones? And I was thinking that it was this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Arya becomes full badass kind of at this point, or is on her path.
Well, at least on the show, that they've definitely framed it as her sort of coming out badass moment. She's had a lot of...
She's had
a
some
lot
moments.
Of moments, but I mean...
Yeah, she's marked up 3 or 4.
Yeah, I think she's on 4 now, if I'm not mistaken.
Have they all been featured on the show? Like, wasn't her first kill like killing the stable boy to get out of King's Landing right after Ned's beheading?
Yeah,
was that the first?
Was that on the show or was it just in the book? I don't remember.
No, it was on the show.
It was
okay.
on the show.
All right.
And then the guard
when she was leaving Harrenhal.
And this one was definitely a justified,
This was the first personal killing of her. This was pure vengeance.
Right.
Well, I remember thinking, I mean, because it's been a while now since the Harrenhal days with like Dunsan and Polliver and the Tickler doing the torturing and stuff.
Right.
I sort of thought that this scene was never going to happen on the show. Because they didn't really establish those, you know, the mountains men as characters that well way back when. And then they kind of pulled Sir Dantos out of the blue again.
Yeah.
I guess just because him giving that necklace thing is kind of a fundamental plot point for later, too.
Right.
Right?
You can't say that.
Well,
spoiler.
No, you can't. Yeah. You could probably say that. That's right. I thought that scene in the tavern was awesome, one of the best of the series. Yeah. And I kind of thought the rest of the episode was not really a first episode of a season quality situation.
Well, I think it was kind of a first episode because it was kind of setting up where everybody was again. I think everybody had probably forgotten. So
right. And yeah. I was kind of caught off guard. Like, you know, Sansa being pouty, I'm just like, come on, what's your problem now? It's like, oh, yeah, you just found out that, you know, about the Red Wedding. And, yeah.
I thought that A Bunch of Time had...
Right.
That was a year ago. Get over it.
Was supposed to have passed. And then, yeah, per that, I realized this is just supposed to be, you know...
Yeah, continuous.
The next day or whatever.
Yep.
The next day.
Yeah, I wish I had probably watched at least the whole last episode from last season before. Just to remember where everything was.
Yeah, I could have used a recap.
Yeah.
It was actually the only useful thing I've ever read in the Omaha World Herald was a recap, an infographic of the whole, here's where everyone is, here's what they just got done doing.
Do you guys remember Polliver from this series, the show?
He's on the list.
Yeah, he's in the, right, he's in her nighttime prayer.
I mean, yeah, I remember.
On the show, she would say Polliver?
Oh, yeah.
She remembered him enough to... I mean, they cut her list in half for the TV show,
it seems
like.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, he was on it, right?
I think he was.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Although, in the books, she runs down that list.
So many times.
You know, she starts eliminating quite a few.
We're not fans.
The list. I don't think we've got that far, maybe.
How do we not have it memorized? King Joffrey. Queen Cersei. The Hound. Polliver.
Dunson.
Sir Ilyn Payne.
Isn't there a tickler in there, too?
The tickler.
Yeah. The tickler.
A French tickler?
Okay, how about recasting? Dario Naharis.
Yeah.
He's not the same actor. Am I wrong about that?
That's what I thought, but I didn't want to say that because I thought I'd look stupid. Fabio hair before? Or was that about the same guy? And the same character?
Was
right?
he blonde?
What? He seemed...
Mr. Blonde.
I think there was a blonde guy from last season, but
yeah,
I don't know who it was.
Don't you remember the stunningly handsome romance novel character-looking front page motherfucker that...
I do.
Well, him.
He had a couple...
That's not this guy.
Badass moments towards the end of last season.
Oh. Yeah, he had like...
He killed the other sellsword captains or whatever.
Along with the Grey Worm. Him and Grey Worm got mobbed deep in the city. Remember, they busted in and they had that huge fracas and they kind of cut away and then they came back all bloodied.
No, it's definitely not the same guy, though.
Yeah. Huh. Unless that's a completely different character. I just look like an idiot.
We're going to have to edit that all out.
Well, that's, you know.
Yeah.
What are you going to do if the guy quit or wanted too much money or, you know, molested a goat, something?
That was just in the series.
Yeah, I guess that's why I thought of that.
Was it?
A shaved goat and some olive oil.
Yeah, what'd you think of Oberyn?
I thought that whole...
Oberyn.
Pretty good, I think. He'll be good.
Yeah, I mean... Anyone who's read the book, I mean, he's got a major part to play. So I'm glad they kind of got this introduction because I don't know that we really got that in the book even, really.
Well, in the book, he's like really kind of just like twinkle in his eye, like playfully, charmingly menacing. And this guy's just kind of more...
Like straight out says...
Just menacing.
Yeah, which I like, so...
He's stabby in the hand, menacing.
Yeah.
No introduction of the... Of his sisters, though. Sisters? All the little bastard daughters, the Sand Snakes.
Well, they didn't all ride to King's Landing with him.
Yeah.
They were all up to stuff in Dorne still, right? Weren't they all kind of...
Oh, that's true, they are. So we don't. Maybe we don't meet them until they...
I think there's
one of the Kingsguard down there.
Right, with...
I mean, if that happens...
It's all a blur.
With Myrcella's, like, guard.
Well, but
Oh, but that already happened.
She's gone. Yeah. But they haven't really picked up that on the that ship plot thread yet. Mm-hmm. All right. They did was send her off.
Right? We haven't seen Dorne, have we? Or did we see it last season?
No.
Okay.
And yeah. You don't see it in the books till the fourth book.
Was there any new things on the intro that we hadn't seen? Did they have the Dreadfort on there last year?
That's what I was going to ask.
I thought that was new.
I mean, they have to have, right?
The Dreadfort is new now, right? Did they never had the Dreadfort on there before, did they?
I don't think so.
Even though that's where Theon is getting tortured.
But they didn't. They couldn't reveal it because we didn't know who was asshole tortured, was right. for four fucking episodes.
Right.
Or however long it was. That was just, you remember me complaining last season about, come on, do something. I mean, it was gratuitous.
Yeah.
Ramsay,
yeah.
The bastard of Bolton.
Gordon Ramsay.
There's not... they jumped ahead to show that stuff happening, like in the chronology of the way things play out in the books. I don't think you really find out that Theon's still alive.
For quite a while.
Until, much later. So I'm not quite sure why they were in such a hurry to have that stuff happen.
Wasn't he absent in the entirety of book 3, I thought?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, because the burning of Winterfell happened towards the end of book 2?
No, you're asking me to remember the order of things. That's not going to work.
This will make thrilling podcasting. Yeah.
Let's talk about nothing that happened in the episode. Remember.
Yeah.
So what did happen in the episode? Well,
we're not even going to get any bots that listen to this episode.
We have
bots are our most fervent fans.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of the pre-intro deal was just Lannister.
The forging of...
Taking ice and...
We don't know.
Smelting it down and making two swords, which is where you get the title. Then he gives one to Jaime. And then... Jaime's going to be in a bad spot. He's really...
been spurned twice.
This episode, he really got raked over the coals by pretty much everybody. Yeah. I mean...
Cersei showing her true colors.
Yeah, what's up with there? With Jaime and Cersei? I guess it's... That's what's supposed to happen, but...
Brother horny.
horny.
I mean, because he came back last year and they immediately did it in the sept or whatever, and then I guess 2 weeks later they haven't... Nothing's happened. What's going on?
Yeah, the sept, probably the best set that we've seen. That was real impressive. I mean, they were banging, but...
Banging in the sept. I guess, because they're in anticipation of the wedding stuff, they're like, let's blow a little more budget on the sept. Because
when you said in anticipation of the wedding thing, let's blow, and I didn't know what you were going to say next. Now I get it.
A little more money.
They did a good job, I think, of just sort of reestablishing where everybody's at in King's Landing, anyway.
Everyone says it's an awkward time. The battle cry of this episode was, it's not a good time. It's not a good time. Everyone, it's not a good time. Tyrion, Cersei.
Right.
Yeah, Tyrion's uptight.
And Bronn's really kind of super insolent now, too.
He always was. Yeah,
but I mean, I think even more so. Like, he pretty much, he's like actually insulting to Tyrion after he's like, oh, was that your skilled diplomacy or whatever it was? Like,
I think that's status quo, but.
Yeah. I mean, the relationship has definitely changed, though, because Bronn's, he has more power now, so he doesn't really need Tyrion as much.
Is he a knight or a lord?
He's a knight.
Knight.
Tyrion's star is falling quickly.
Yeah. And Bronn wants to rise, I would assume.
And he will.
You don't know.
Oh, but I do.
But is Bronn going to wear the necklace? Just kidding.
Bronn is like one of the shining stars of the show. Like, I mean, he's of the books too. He's like a great character, but this actor's portrayal of Bronn in particular really makes him more good.
He's the Spicoli of this cast.
I do still hate Shay just as much as I did from the last season.
Yeah, they just screwed up with Shay entirely.
Like, anything that she was in this episode, I was just like, ugh, quit talking and just go away. I mean, they'll cut to her, looking back at Tyrion,
Which Tyrion kind of gave her the go away. You know, she said flatly, "Do you want me to stay or not?" And he didn't answer, and that's an answer.
Right.
Then you saw him go, ugh.
But what happened with the diamonds? Did somebody say that Tyrion wanted her to go away, I think, in last season?
Did
or was it Tywin?
No, Tywin doesn't know about that relationship.
Oh, but he will.
Yeah. I wonder if what's-her-name's going to get a name. Narco.
Oh, the little.
The handmaid or whatever.
Yeah. At first I thought that was like Sansa coming back or something was outside. And then I was like, no, that's not. That's just, yeah, who is that?
Like, what's-her-name who got an actual plot character twist? Was it Rose?
Roz.
Ended up on the end of.
Yeah.
When I say she ended up on the end of Joffrey's shaft, it's not what it sounds like. His arrow, whatever the part of the arrow that is the arrow part. The arrow part of the arrow.
She got shafted.
That was a great not in the book kind of character arc, you know. You're looking at me like you don't remember what happened.
No,
Roz, the
prostitute, but yeah, also
what
immigrated to King's
informant,
from,
prostitute,
Winterfell,
mm-hmm.
Right?
And then Joffrey shot her with a crossbow. Ooh,
because why did he do that?
Wait, right? Yeah, was it her?
Like Tyrion,
or did he hit her with a mace, or did he stick a mace up her?
A mace?
Not a mace. He did a lot of things.
A morning star?
I think it was a morning
star. A flail? Star. Nobody knows what those are. Some nerd just went, I know.
Get the player's handbook out. Let's see what.
That's how I know all those medieval weapons. The Bilgwa's arm. It's probably not how you say it. The.
How come you never find
pole arm?
A plus two Bilgwa's arm.
The arquebusier. That's a musket. That's not right. I learned that from one of those RPGs. No, one of those real-time strategy games.
But you really need plus two just to slay a prostitute, Chuck. Isn't that overkill?
If she's an undead prostitute.
It has to have a fire enchantment on it. I don't know.
Shit. Yeah, Roz had like an unjustified, like high prominent character. I think it's just a thing where I think like as an actress, she like everybody liked her, so they just kind of beefed up her role,
right?
Until they realized they didn't need her anymore. Right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure they didn't set out to have her get killed by Joffrey necessarily, but
anything to make Joffrey more hated, I guess.
Well, I think the television show has done that in particular a lot more than the books. All the characters have to have characteristics that you really hate. Like they did the same thing with Shay. Shay was not so conniving in the book, you know. And even Joffrey was not as. I didn't think he was portrayed as sadistic like he is in the TV show.
It was kind of more hinted at, like that he tortured cats when he was a kid and stuff.
Right? Yeah. It was hinted at, but I just think that in the book he allows for more sort of shades of gray. The characters are all sort of they have good elements and bad elements, but in the TV show they either, you know, suck or they're good, right? Well, maybe not completely, but
I mean, who's left that's good?
Well, yeah.
I mean, Ed Stark was a shining white light.
Jon Snow,
basically. Sam,
Bronn, or not Bran? Bran,
Daenerys,
Bran.
Bran and Rickon are too young to be. Well, no, they're not too young to be terrible. There's some young terrible. Joffrey was only. Like supposed to be 13 or whatever when we first saw him. He was a shithead right off the bat.
Yeah, Joffrey has rarely done anything that wasn't like loathsome.
Right. I mean,
even Jorah was he was a slave trader, which is obviously not a good thing. And
see, I think they've messed up Jorah on the show a little bit and made him a little too, I don't know, dashing and noble. He's not as flawed a character as he should be. Yeah. But, you know, that's all right. I mean, I do like that guy and his performance.
Right.
I might have known what his name was before I brought him up, but I can't.
Khaleesi.
I'll start reading stuff again.
What about Daenerys is getting back to the action? Well, now we're just reminiscing. What about Daenerys?
Remember that time Daenerys was.
What about the hint of the lack of control that she has over the dragons and how.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's also that whole dragon scene just kind of reminded me, or it was great. It was a really good, like, nice long lingering shot of like awesome.
Yeah, they have like
animation
a dead
on the dragons,
mm-hmm. goat or whatever it was. Or
the dragons are the only ones that have visibly aged. Even the younger people in the show. I mean, Arya looks almost identical, which is
she's looking a little older.
You think? Yeah, she looks taller, but she doesn't look older.
Bran definitely does.
We didn't really see Bran other than
we'll see with Bran and Rickon, because they might look a lot older. They're going from 5 to 6 or 6 to 7 or whatever. That's going to be hard to be like, oh, it's just the next day. Well, this kid has a mustache now. So.
They'll probably end up recasting Rickon. He'll be gone for a while.
They might
just come back as a different kid.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't appeared for like the last couple of books. It's been. I don't even know what happened.
Yeah, he's gonna. I mean, I anticipate kind of like a big fun reveal. Like he'll just like come back riding on a direwolf and like just chopping heads off left and right, like right in the thick of a big, you know, like after the others break through the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
Big S on his chest. Are there? We have 3 out of 5 direwolves are still with us, or is it 2?
Well.
What happened?
Only John's, right?
Is Ghost north or south of the wall?
I think Ghost is still north of the wall.
So okay. So Ghost is just out there.
And Arya's still out there somewhere.
Arya's direwolf was the one that like leads that pack of wolves that's wandering around during the war.
And
have they shown that on the show?
They haven't really, I don't think.
No.
There was a moment where some Lannisters were like peeing out by the tree line and some wolves came and got them, right?
Yeah.
Some Lannister just
I think so.
Guardsmen.
I forgot that. Chris, how recently have you read these books? It sounds like pretty recent.
No, it's been a couple of years.
That's pretty recent.
Nymeria. So yeah, Nymeria is on the loose with a huge pack of man-killing wolves.
Yep. Show that.
Ghost is just kind of on his own for the time being.
And Summer is still alive, right?
Some are still alive.
So there's three still alive because Sansa's and what's the Red Wedding guy's dead?
Yeah, Rob's
Grey. Rob's
Greyman's.
Yeah.
You remember your fallen king's name.
He's not my king.
So they say.
Rob's direwolf? Was it Grey Wind?
Grey Wind.
Yeah.
And Shaggy Dog is
Rickon's. Yeah, Shaggy Dog is still going strong.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, okay. More than I thought.
Lady and Grey Wind are the only ones we've lost.
Okay. What do you think about the stuff up on the wall? I mean, so we got the little... First it was Ygritte making her arrows and talking to Tormund, and then they kind of meet up with all those...
The Thens.
The clans.
Magnar?
The Thens.
Of Thend?
The Magnar is the ruler, right?
Yeah.
They look Magnar of Thend.
I like their look.
Yeah.
They're kind of like Hellraiser-ish look. Or something like that. Like, with like flaps of skin sewn up or something, and yeah,
right.
Pretty good exchange with that guy. That was solid.
That was another sort of delayed reveal. Like John should have met the Thens around the same time that he met Tormund and Mance and all
right.
that. Like all those characters were introduced at the same time, so they just kind of
it would have been
postponed
kind of
that
much. It would have been like a whole episode of John meets everybody. Like
yeah.
This is this guy. And...
So that's cool.
They introduced the Warg character and killed him already.
I already killed him, yeah.
And
Orin, right?
And the,
yeah.
Right, and he was he had a whole sort of rivalry thing with Jon Snow going on in the books that they didn't really...
Part of it was based around Ygritte, in the show was it based around her, which was it like that in the book? I don't remember if there was a, you know, I used to love her, but she had to kill you or try.
And what happened to the guy that wore the
rattle
bones? Yeah, Rattleshirt.
Rattleshirt's still around.
Lord of Bones.
Right?
Lord of Bones.
Right. Which, actually, I mean, that conversation, so they bring John in front of Sir Alistair and the Maester, and then I guess it's supposed to be the bald guy, I think, is... He doesn't say his name in the episode tonight, right?
He didn't.
But it's
he's the guy that sold out. Ned.
Janice Slint.
Yeah.
Slint. Yeah, one of the he's been weaseliest, scummiest
he's
characters.
He's been around since the beginning, and he's done some stuff. He was the gold... Wasn't he the gold cloak... Leader of the Gold Cloaks?
He was captain of the Gold Cloaks Ned thought that he had paid for their loyalty through Littlefinger's betrayal. So, I mean, he was instrumental in screwing Ned over. Yeah. And then he was like, briefly... when Tyrion took over as Hand of the King, he got rid of Slint and sent him up to the Wall.
Right.
God,
this is just all recap. We need it.
Everyone
needs it. There's a lot of people who are in our boat, I bet.
And I'm thinking the next episode is going to... There's going to be a lot of resetting, too, because there's been several characters we've mentioned that didn't have any scenes in this first episode at all.
Which is their MO. You know, half of the characters in one episode, the next half in the next one, typically. Because they have to. It's an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot more for Bran to do.
I guess just depending, but who knows how far they're actually going to go in the...
Did Bran cross over?
He's already up north of the wall.
They just went through the wall at the end of last season.
They found the little tunnel and...
Right. Down to the well or whatever.
And Sam came up and said... the Cold Hands, did they talk about Cold Hands?
No, I don't think they've seen him yet.
They didn't. Well, that was the guy. I mean, that was like Sam and Gilly were sort of guided out of the forest to the wall. And then they just sort of say, "Hi, Bran, see ya." Like, or they just sort of pass each other at that point. They didn't really elaborate what was going on there. But they also didn't, Martin didn't elaborate with that much in the books either. It was like kind of a big question mark. Who Cold Hands was, what did Sam like learn really from being near Cold Hands, and also having met Bran? Like there's in the books, there's a couple things where he's like, "I wish I could tell John that I know that his brothers are still alive," kind of a thing, but keeps it a secret for some reason. It's not a big thing, but,
right?
But that's in there. In this episode, the stuff up at the wall, I mean, when last we saw John, he had, like, arrows sticking out of him, and he was just barely getting away alive.
Right.
And here, he was just, like, all better again.
Yeah.
He
should be, limping around or something.
He should be...
His leg is pretty screwed up.
She feathered him on the ride out. Yeah. He shouldn't have lived, but...
Well, Tormund kind of, called her out for not killing him. But it sure seemed like she was... gunning for him.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Just because he hit a rabbit, straight through the eye 200 yards away once doesn't mean you can...
I mean, she was livid when she found out that he was, not what he thought.
She wanted
he said.
To hurt him, I guess. But
I was going to say that whole conversation where they're, kind of got John on trial. In the book, Rattleshirt shows up there like they had captured him at this point. Because they had already been fighting for quite a while by the time... Sir Alistair and everybody returns. So they kind of messed with the order on that in the book, I guess.
I don't think there was a lot of trial or anything. I think in the book, doesn't John get back to Castle Black like barely ahead of the wildlings?
Right.
Because they know that he's going to
And they're already under siege already.
Give him away.
By the time that this stuff happens in the book, the wildlings are already actively attacking the wall at this point. So,
right, yeah, things are a little too peaceful still at Castle Black.
Yeah.
I mean, when John gets to tell them the wildlings are coming, Mance is coming with an army and all that. But, but it was kind of more like that whole siege of Castle Black happens before the trial of John.
Right,
I think.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, because I just remember him having his leg in a splint and just all he's able to do is
right during the battle he's up on that
tower
with the scarecrow.
So we had some interesting conversations with Marjorie and her grandmother kind of sitting around the old pavilion
she's being herself.
Yeah,
Lady Olenna
being,
and Brienne was cool this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little bit of business that had to happen. Brienne was telling Marjorie about Stannis' shadow.
Right.
And it's I guess people were after Brienne for killing
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the Tyrells, now that they're with the Lannisters, that's not a big deal anymore. Right. But
and then she has to guilt Jaime.
He has a good point. It's like, what, you know, I swore to protect Lady Stark's daughters, but it's like, what do we do with, you know, the, what, she, there's nothing left to do. Well, she, I mean, she has to get to the conclusion, like, she makes it her mission to go find Arya. Or does, or does Jaime, like, basically task her with doing that?
Does she go to find Arya? Or does she, does she actually go to find Sansa?
Oh.
No one knows.
Maybe.
Because that's, I mean, there's that.
A little bit of both, maybe.
Yeah, there's, again, I don't want to foreshadow, but that's why they reintroduce Ser Dantos, because he plays a role in her
future.
Well, yeah. I'm not sure he's going to, though, or else he would have said something about it. Like, basically, you know, Ser Dantos in the books keeps making these drunken rendezvous with Sansa and the Godswood,
right,
promising her, I'll arrange, you know, I'll help you escape one of these days.
Right.
It's in the works. You just hang in there. But they had Littlefinger do that directly on the show instead, right?
I thought they were going to kill him off right as soon as he walked off from giving her the necklace. I thought they were just going to have someone pop out and kill him, right, to be honest with you.
I was kind of like, for a drunken dude, he kind of stealthily got around in those bushes. I was like,
that could have been a little better. Yeah.
I mean, I would have figured that he just like stumbles through a hedge or whatever and like knocks into her, like
bottle in hand.
Yeah. Had to fake a little suspense there.
Yeah.
Oh, who's going to kill her?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's just the drunken fool.
Yep.
But I think it was like, it might have even been the first episode of season three where
saves his life?
Or has it been as far back as season two where Ser Dantos was introduced and then quickly dispatched? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, then
might have been season two.
Forgotten. Yeah, I think so. That was weird. Just, I mean, it's one of those scenes that they kind of had to show, like, previously on Game of Thrones.
Right.
It's like, oh.
Which is good that they did that, because, I mean, they kind of hit all the important little things, like, you know.
And you forget it instantly. I mean, as soon as the show starts, you forget what you just saw. So it's not really, you're not sitting there thinking about, oh, why is that important now? Because you've got a new thing to process that's in front of you. So, fortunately.
Yep. I think it would have been.
Here's what no one should ever do. Watch those previously on Game of Thrones thing, and then go like think about it for 30 minutes, and then come back and watch the show. Don't do that.
I always like reverse engineer, like, you know, I figure out why they're showing those scenes.
Right.
But you can't
because you've got the new thing to look at right in front of you.
Well, I mean, they're feeding you necessary information.
Or do you just do it right in the moment?
To process. Well, if it's obvious, I mean, I guess, why would they show Ser Dantos if they weren't going to bring him back and have him do something?
Right.
Why would they show the moment that Lami died if they weren't going to show Polliver again?
Mm-hmm.
Shut up, man. No, not really. But kind of.
Well, I mean, Arya's, you know, callback to his words when she kills him would not have landed as well if they didn't give everybody that fresh reminder.
It would have for real fans. Maybe not.
I don't know. I mean, I almost feel like Sansa shouldn't have recognized Ser Dantos because he's been off the show for so long. It's just like, who are you again?
But are you saying she shouldn't have recognized him? Because they made her almost not
recognize him. She recognized him awfully quickly. I mean, it should have been like, refresh my memory again. But, and the same thing with Polliver, kind of, too, but.
Well, if he's on her shit list, she's going to remember that face.
I just don't think they earned it by keeping, you know, him in the show enough. Or, you know, showing him be bad or, I don't know.
Right.
It's just one of those things. You got to just kind of, there's too much material to get through. I know, you know.
Got to pick and choose.
You don't think he's bad enough? They were about to have that tavern lady.
I loved everything about that tavern scene. And
it was good.
Polliver especially. I mean, his whole character, his whole manner and everything he said was perfect. Just to remind you. It's just like, oh, okay, this guy's got to die.
Yeah. I liked Arya and the Hounds, their whole conversation kind of peering through the bushes or whatever. It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had some good laughs.
He's like, himself.
What the fuck's a Lami? It's like he was my friend.
Well, is
Lami Greenhands?
Is this the most heroic moment for the Hound thus far? I mean, this is like
he's been a hero slash anti-hero the whole way, I think. You know, even when he was riding out, escaping, leaving, turning tail, whatever you want to call it.
Well, and yeah, he, I mean, Arya would be, she'd be dead.
Many times.
Yeah,
yeah.
If not for him.
And she.
Even though he had to, you know, smash her in the face with a heavy weapon.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that
was back of the head.
That was in the book.
It was the very last words of one of the books.
Right.
Book 2, it was like the last thing that happened. Because yeah. then you're like, great, now I have to wait 5 years to find out if she died or not.
Kind of like where we're at right now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, that even got a laugh from us, I think, in the previously, just the death montage of the Red Wedding.
Right.
You know, like Rob dying, like,
oh yeah,
Catelyn scream, her scream, and then you just see Arya get bashed over the back of the head. It's just like salt in the wound.
Did you guys see someone put together every death in the Game of Thrones series to date to the tune of
Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Put on a happy smile. Pretty good. It was the actual number of deaths they show was like 146, but then there was like the Blackwater, where the ship went, they added 5,000, like, right. It was pretty good. But yeah, every solitary death they showed, and, you know, most of them took under a second, but
yeah.
Right.
It was pretty amazing. All the ways that people got ran through, blown up, you know, dismembered, disemboweled.
Yeah, there were a couple of particularly grisly moments.
Oh, yeah.
Tavern scene.
Putting his head on the...
Up and down his... right through the eye.
Many times. Oh, man. Sorry, the show's on again. And
Craig likes nudity.
I looked up and there was a fully...
They got to the brothel scene pretty quick in the episode.
They wanted to get everybody back in.
That's right. We're still HBO.
Yeah.
If you don't have tits before the 10-minute mark, then... You've lost
your 18 to 35 year olds.
Yeah.
Don't the Valyrian steel blades look a little commonplace? Like you know that they kind of open on Jaime looking at the new sword.
Yeah.
And he says magnificent.
It looks like a prop sword.
I'm just thinking, really? That magnificent?
Yeah. I thought that too.
I thought the Valyrian steel was supposed to just sort of have like an otherworldly quality to it where you can see the folds in the metal and all that.
Yeah.
Not sure how they're going to represent that without making it, you know, look like a lightsaber or something.
Well, the one
that'd be fine.
I'm confused about the ethnicities of this world. There seems no rhyme or reason to it.
It's sort of intentionally vague. I think because they just want to reserve the right to cast the best performer in any given role without having to shoehorn them into a certain ethnicity.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
But they really confused some things, like so they have the sellsword groups run around on the other continent where Daenerys is.
Right.
And at one point last season, did they introduce a leader of the group called the Second Sons, and yet he looked like sort of, for lack of a better term, he looked... like non-Westerosi, right? Well, whereas the Second Sons were all, you know, that's why they're the Second Sons.
I'm sure they took some liberties there. I mean,
but then I noticed so last year Dario Naharis looked a little more like native to that continent, and now he looks more Westerosi, I thought.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't look appropriately exotic.
Most racist podcast.
Yeah, this.
And now he's like, he's really unremarkable. I'm not buying Daenerys' interest in
him
at all.
That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the last scene with them where he's obviously trying to win her over with the flowers and, you know, and she's, you know, smiling. I'm not buying it.
Well, she was unimpressed with him from the beginning of this episode. So that sort of implies that the casting change just. Like his profile dropped in her estimation. She's like, "Oh, you're Dario now."
Yeah. But she did ask right off the bat, like, "Well, where is he?" You know,
right? We're all gonna get sick of Dario before his ultimate death scene. He's got to have a.
Oh, he dies?
Maybe
not. But I mean, it seems like he's got it coming. You got to get him out of the way in order for the the spark to kindle between Danny and
Jorah.
John.
Oh. You're guessing what's going to happen in the next book.
Yeah. Yeah. Little profit action out of Chuck here.
It, huh? Does it seem inevitable that the two of them?
It's a song of ice and fire.
It doesn't seem inevitable.
Not inevitable. No, nothing. Nothing's inevitable.
It seems inevitable.
I would have guessed that Ned Stark was going to live. So, you know, inevitability.
Right.
No, ultimately, I think I've always thought Jon Snow and Daenerys were the two poles of the story. Really leaves us in a bad place.
We still don't know who Jon's real mother is, right?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah,
that could be a.
There's
a big
wild
deal.
Speculation on the internet, so don't read it.
Yeah. The answer's out there. I'm pretty sure it hasn't been confirmed, but it's
right.
You're buying one of the internet theories. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you buy the theory that says that his father isn't really who we think he is?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're referring to then.
You know which one? There's only one, really, isn't there? You either stick with the accepted tale that that Ned slept with
someone,
a woman, and who was a prostitute or a nursemaid or something,
a comfort,
and that basically the official tale is that he's a bastard, Ned's bastard, and all that. But it's Rhaegar Targaryen. They sort of just dropped the first little breadcrumb on, like the first little clue on that front in this episode. They haven't talked about it a lot, but Oberyn. Tells the tale of his sister who bore children for Rhaegar, and that Rhaegar left her for another woman.
And then they kill all her kids and kill her and.
And raped her and killed her children. But so the other woman that Rhaegar left
Ilya
for was Lyanna, Ned's sister. But I mean, it's never spelled out all that well, I don't think, except maybe it's like one of the tales that
Jojen and Mira.
Right. Don't they kind of tell a tale to Bran the time that, like, the young Ned and Lyanna and Ned's brother all went to a tournament was it Harrenhal?
That story is told, like, four different times from different perspectives in the books.
Yeah.
They, like, tell the same story, and the one you're referring to is almost like a...
The Mystery Knight.
Right.
The story of the Mystery Knight. Who was the Mystery Knight? Was it? I think Jaime Lannister was there.
He was a Mystery Knight once.
He was the Mystery Knight.
He was a Mystery Knight. Brienne was a Mystery Knight once.
That's how she's introduced. That's how she won her place.
I'm just saying the concept of the Mystery Knight.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
go on. Time-honored tradition.
Right.
All right. Well, this is not particularly relevant to this episode, but
it's okay.
But most of what we've said tonight isn't.
But let's see if we can get this straight from our fractured memories. All right, so young Ned Stark and his sister Lyanna and his brother named
Brandon.
Was it who Kat was originally supposed
was
to?
Was it Brandon?
Who
Kat was supposed to marry?
Yeah, I don't remember.
But, I think it was Brandon. Yeah.
Okay,
or something.
I think it was Brandon.
Yeah, I think so. I think
you're right. Okay. So the three of they go to this tournament, and is that where Rhaegar meets Lyanna and starts flirting with her, or is Robert there? Is that when Robert fell in love with Lyanna,
I don't know.
All right. Well, obviously I'm not. I don't have the authority to follow through on this anecdote. So the whole thing about at some point Rhaegar sort of elopes with Lyanna. And there it's
was Rhaegar the Mystery Knight?
Oh, maybe Rhaegar was the Mystery Knight because he wasn't allowed to participate in it because he was the prince.
Mm.
Something like that.
That seems plausible.
But he granted Lyanna like the garland or whatever, like crowning her the hottest chick at the party. And so then there's the other tale about the tragic thing that happens wherever Leanna was where she gave birth to a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And Ned Stark, it was like one of the iconic battles, heroic moments in Ned Stark's young career, like for the original
where
war.
He kills some of the Kingsguard, right?
Yeah, right. He kills Arthur Dayne, the
Sword of the Morning.
Sword of the Morning that was mentioned yeah. when Joffrey was flipping through the Kingsguard book.
Right.
But yeah, that's the one I like. It's the most poetic sort of thing, outcome for Jon's character arc.
Right.
That he, not only is he not a bastard, well, I guess he is sort of, but he's not, he was never Ned's bastard. He was always Ned's nephew.
Right.
And that he's actually also a Targaryen. But so then if he ends up with Daenerys, then that would be like...
Weird. But the Targaryens did that all the time, that's if you remember. True. I mean, yeah. That was status they quo.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Incest is best.
Which they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that with this because it's, you know, it's an...
Oh, come on. It's HBO. A modern, they could go
nah,
there.
No, they won't. It's a modern audience. No one would champion that. It's people are too modern.
Well, by the time...
Well, I'm all for it.
Yeah, making a stand against everything wholesome.
A champion of unnatural coupling.
Quite a title, if you can get it. Good work if you can get it.
That would make Daenerys Jon's aunt then, right?
Oh.
Aunt Daenerys.
Now it got weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose she would be.
But, I mean, yeah, by the time they get around to that meeting on the
Everyone's
show.
Got a dirty aunt. Uncle. It's uncle I'm thinking of. Sorry.
Well, because nobody knows how to connect the dots. I mean, like, your readers can figure out, but it's entirely possible that Jon will never know. They'll bring it up.
They'll never meet. They'll never see each other.
Sure they will.
I mean, no, they will definitely meet before the story is done, but they won't necessarily be romantic.
But you don't remember how the last book ended?
I don't. Don't say anything.
Let me think.
You don't know yet.
Yeah, Jon's not dead. Surely not. That's a classic.
How could he not be?
Well, I know, but they can't kill him off.
Sorry, Mike.
Jon dies.
Oh, I mean, when it's the end of the book, cliffhanger.
Yeah, sorry, everyone.
It's true. It's the same thing they did with Arya at the end of.
Hey man, they'll kill anybody. It doesn't matter.
That's what I'm worried
they,
about.
They won't kill Jon. I mean, not in that way. They'll kill him doing something heroic. Wait, did they? Was he doing something heroic?
Not really.
No.
was he taking a shit?
It was almost that bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was kind of just out in the middle of nowhere, and they fell upon him.
Well,
that's not going to happen for a while. Jon's got a pretty... cool arc coming up. His yeah,
good.
Everything that happens at Castle Black is going to be exciting this season.
Yeah, definitely this season for sure.
Yeah,
lots of fight,
good stuff.
We'll see.
We will see, and we'll be back to
bore you some more. another
right.
Another 70 minutes.
We'll be back to pick you up later.